It's really great to celebrate Jesus' birthday with you all. And thinking about the theme of God's love in the Bible, especially at Christmas, maybe think in your lifetime, when was the time when you felt loved the most? When was the time that you felt loved the most? And sometimes we idealize the past. So for some folks, you might say, well, that was this particular year. Might have something to do with the relationship with a dear one. Might have something to do with, wouldn't it be surprising, as some of the guys would say, I felt the most loved when I got a promotion at work. And you'd say, oh, brother, you know. Maybe not that. Let's go a little deeper. But it probably had something to do with what was happening around you. And maybe when you compare feelings with the facts, maybe you were the most loved when you didn't even know you were loved. Perhaps when you were a little one. And the only thing you were conscious of was you were wet and you were hungry. But maybe you were the loved most at then, in terms of there was a lot of action happening to sustain you. But from God's viewpoint, was there any particular day that you should not perhaps have been impacted by His great love for you? Maybe you're sitting here, would it be even at 8:30 on December 23rd, and say, that was the most loved I have ever felt. Because I heard the Bible, songs about the Lord. You know, I woke up again to the grace and mercy of God in my life. And it was, God so loved you, He gave Jesus. And so that love is to be known, felt, trusted, and followed today. And some things in the Bible about the love of God, and I wanted to share some things from popular culture also that are a cry out for the love of God, and from Christian music. And we appreciate the music today. Eugene Peterson expressed a lot about love in his life. He was a professor at Regent College up in Canada. He passed away recently. But he spent 9 years of his life paraphrasing the Bible. So he started in Genesis, and he took his time. Actually, he started in the New Testament and would read and study, and then he'd write a phrase that would reflect the meaning of what was written. So he took 9 years to do the whole Bible, called the Message Bible. It's online if you want to get it, with some other great things. And it's known as an idiomatic translation. It's translated from Greek, but it uses language that you might use down at the Giant Eagle or the Kohl's or wherever you go. And so J.I. Packer, who is a real Bible guy, a real scholar, said that the Message Bible was very accurate for old Eugene Peterson to do. He said it was a combination of accurate scholarship and lively words. Okay, so when you think, just think about that phrase. Accurate truth, lively words. Something that God would get our heart towards, even in the sending of His Son. So Peterson has this take on God's love in Ephesians 2. We heard a little bit, the intense, powerful God, love of God, who is rich in mercy. He said, God, with immense mercy and incredible love, embraced us. Okay, God, with intense mercy and incredible love, embraced us. So that's something that God did in the sending of His Son and does today by His Spirit. So you got to feel embraced a little bit. And you might think, when was the last time somebody embraced you? You know, it's been a month. This is not good. But to be embraced by God's love so that you might embrace others. So here's the genius Christian brother, Eugene Peterson. In fact, he used to write books that was mandatory for all Alliance pastors to read. I couldn't get ordained without reading these Eugene Peterson books. And so he comes to the word love and he says, incredible love. That's the best he could put, you know. Incredible love. Trump probably drops his pen and says, oh, Lord, You know, this is too amazing. Everything about love we ever thought or did or felt really comes from God. Twice in 1 John, God tells us God is love. Not the sum total of who God is, but it's there. It's His expression. And when He sent Jesus, there was action of love. There was commitment. There was sacrifice. There was joy and peace. Angel said, good news of great joy, peace. There was goodwill. There was planning and great delight in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the mission of Jesus. And when you think about giving praise to Jesus for His love, there's none of us could do justice to that, but we could, one thing, let the Bible speak for itself, let God speak to our hearts, and look and see the love of God impacting lives, even our own soul, even if we don't know it. It's okay, you know, when we all sleep, God's loving us throughout the night, and we are clueless about that love. Last night I happened to have a terrible dream. Every time I have a terrible dream, I wake up, and it takes me about 3 hours to not be cranky. So about 10 o'clock, I'll be okay. But you're loved anyway through the rough times, aren't you? That's what it is, the truth of it. So I make reference to youth pastor Doug Pullman. He was here for a while. He said every movie and every song was a cry for the Messiah, even in popular culture. So the cry for love, unknowingly God's love, in secular music, if you want to call it that. These are from the number one songs selected by Billboard magazine. I guess it's a magazine. I don't know if they exist anymore. Some of you grew up with these songs. I did. If you don't know anything about them, you're either blessed or you'll be go down memory lane. Okay, this is from the 60s. And if you look at the different decades, 60s, 70s, 80s, 2000, and so forth, you'll find in the number one songs that less and less of those songs have to do with love in the title. So in secular, in our world, love is taking a hit. People are getting less and less impressed with even human love, you know, and so on. And so here's, from the 60s, there's a lot of number one songs with the word love in them. Some of you, you know, were spooning with your loved one about these songs. Okay, Can't Buy Me Love, the Beatles, Measure of Truth in That. You know, we can't earn this love from our sweetheart and so forth. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I remember that one. Must have heard that every day on the radio. Me and Bruce DeMichela. We'll be singing that next week during the offertory. But a world without love. And then, everybody loves somebody sometime. The Dino Martin. That was his hope for people. Everybody ought to be loved sometime. We kind of, you know. And so, and then, the panic. Where did our love go? Diana Ross and the Supremes. And then it started to get really crusty with the Doors. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? That's not good. In the 80s, you see love started to be looked at as a cynical thing, untrustworthy. The greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. One of the worst songs ever written. Very well sung by Whitney Houston, a Christian sister, I think, who struggled with big problems. And then there was You Give Love a Bad Name. Bon Jovi. And then, I did not research well enough the past couple decades, but in this recent 2 or 3 years, Love Lies, L-I-E-S, in other words, you can't trust love. And then secondly, Bad at Love, which has some humorous song words. And a lot of these are, you know, they're immoral tendencies and so on. But the gal says, you know, I told him if he would just wait, it would be fine. But all he wants is me serving him supper. Something like that. You'll have to look it up. But it's a tough road when the human heart cries out for love and God's saying, at this very moment, you know, I love you with the power of my Son who has been sent for you. And please look toward Him. You know, please trust Him. Please look at the world that God has made. And God's fingerprint is on the life of all these singers who sang those kind of songs if they would put their trust in Him. Christian songs in the past have had a more trustworthiness of God's love, even when we wonder about it. Why should He love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should He love me so? We're still amazed that God loves us like that. And then here's one. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, should die for me? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It's something about being loved that you want to do something, either toward the love or away from the love. I remember, again, thinking back on when you felt love, maybe as a young person, grade school, teenager, young adult, newlywed, and so on. And so, when I found out somebody loved me, if I wasn't ready for it, I would avoid that person like the plague. And that could be our response to God if we don't watch it, you know. Like, what? What? I wouldn't want to look at that person. Because I didn't want anything happening that I didn't want to happen. But if there's somebody who loved me and I received that, was impacted by that, oh my. I scheduled my whole day around that person, didn't you? You kind of, I'll see her then and here and there. But love demands our soul, our life, our all. Love from Christ. So we say, now this, He is worth living for sure. And then the tough side of God's love. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids Him rise. Christ has opened paradise. So to practical nature, God would fight sin and death for us. Talking to a loved one the other day, he said, you know, God is willing to face torture so we don't have to go to hell. That was, you know, that. They were thinking about the cross of Christ. And then so many great contemporary songs about the love of God. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And something that when I fought against you, you fought for me. I had the name of the person, but I left the notes at home. Yeah, somebody knows it, I think. But that's a great song. But here are some things that the love of God is like. Let the Bible speak for the love of God there. First of all, it's before time began. That's a long time. God has loved us for a long time in the planning of salvation. Okay, before even the earth was in existence, He said, I'm going to have to help dear people and show my love to them. It endures forever. You can't out-sin God's love. God's love is too big. So if you would, you know, if we confess our sin, then we'll know, how faithful He is. Bring forgiveness. It's immeasurable and infinite. Too big for our 3.5-pound brain, but we're glad to trust Him. He's faithful and steadfast. He says a number of times in the Bible, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a steadfast, faithful love. Even in Bethlehem, people sensed. Shepherds, wise men, Mary, Joseph, slowly everybody. We have a fellow at the 10:45 service from Egypt. And when I think of him, I look at him and I think, Egypt, you know. Those are the people who protected Jesus when Jesus was 2. Remember, Mary and Joseph had to go to Egypt so he wouldn't get hunted down. Thank the Lord for, thank you to that Egyptian fella and his great, 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 great grandchildren, at least at that end time of history. Faithful, steadfast, incomprehensible and unfailing, so trustworthy, holy and matchless. Something, isn't it great when you know you're loved? Doesn't your behavior change towards truth and rightness? I think even on a human level, people do that. And when God impacts your heart, you say, wow, it's good to abide in His love by following what He says. And then He's all-powerful and all-knowing love. Knows us the best, loves us the most. It's been said, I don't think about these things too much, but it's been said by Christian counselors that all of us there's only two people who, one person knows us really, really well, the Lord. And everybody else knows us pretty well who is very close to us. And because we're pretty afraid that if we let everybody know everything about us, first of all, they wouldn't want to. They would freak out and run the other direction. But the Lord doesn't. He moves toward us. So the great, all-powerful, all-knowing love of God, always present. There's a song out now that says, I see you in everything. And it's a very good song about the omnipresence of God. We were loved first. We were loved in a sacrificial way where God had to set aside His prerogatives. Jesus, from heaven's glory to a manger. And that's about, you hear these wonderful stories of somebody goes on the overseas mission field. And they say they went, how can you go from America where you have lights, you have food, and you have, a car, and you go to a place where you got no car, you got lights, maybe, and, you'll have minimal food. We say, well, that's a lot of love. There was a lot of love when Jesus went from heaven to our troubled world, for sure, where He was hunted down again at the age of 2 or less. But the great love of God that changes a life, God's love higher than high. This is all Ephesians 3. Higher than high, wider than wide, deeper than deep, whatever you feel like. God, His love has to be that way. It certainly is. Longer than long. It is giving and personal. It's not just an idea, but it's God's heart toward your heart. The greatest love story ever. That's what they said about Jesus. And it's true. So to ask God, Lord, there's been times in my life where I felt love and not felt love. And I don't want to run my life based on my emotions, but I know it's true that the Lord loves you 100% today. And whatever that does for you, it should really, He's available. Not to live again on the mountaintop, but to live with some assurance and trust. Well, I can trust Him. In my life growing up, it would happen to be my dad who, if my dad was there, everything was fine. And that's the way the Lord is to us. So we have somebody in our life like that, hopefully. It's also repentance motivating. When I know God loves us, it makes us want to change toward Him. It's the prodigal son who woke up and said, even if I go to my father's house, I'll be able to get a meal, I think. And of course, he found the great love of God again in the story. It is without favoritism. That's a good one. In case you wonder, why does God love that person so much and not me? Just because it seems like there's a few more blessings, at least at this point in history, the other person has. Hey, he loves you the same way. It is sin conquering, so the rebellion in our hearts gets changed. It is heart changing. It's a free gift, the underestimated free gift of God. There's a church nearby where I live that says God gives gifts at Christmas, and they picked forgiveness and eternal life. Just those two gifts. Oh, so powerful. And then this one, the trust, truth of God's Word. God's love, when we put our trust in Christ, is poured out into our hearts. So first, we know we're loved. We start to feel we're loved. And then, probably best of all, we start to share that love with other people. It's a Bible fact for all Christians. That's why I don't know, hopefully it's not my personality, but looking at the Word of God from, you know, Genesis to Revelation, I always thought every Christian had the same love of God that every other Christian had. Not necessarily love toward Him, but they were loved the same. And they had the same amount of love. You can't measure the love of God. But they had the same amount of love. They were given the Spirit without reserve. Okay. So there was no... So any Christian, you could have Billy Graham in the pew sitting next to you, and both of you have the same amount of love to share. Mother Teresa next to you, you have the same amount of love as her. All we have to do is take a courageous step and express it, you know. But that's love poured out into our hearts. And then, enjoyable. Isn't it enjoyable to be loved? I don't know what they sing in heaven about us. We know they do. Especially when we turn to God, angels sing. God rejoices over us with singing. That's from the Bible. And it's God honoring. So your chief purpose in life. Well, it's good to honor God. Have joy in Him forever. We rejoice forevermore. And then just a couple of things in closing, practical side of it. God's great love motivates us into actions of unconditional love, compassion, and mercy. And I picked the story of the guys at the judgment, and the sheep and the goats. And God says to the sheep, He says, I was hungry, You gave me some food. Thirsty, You gave drink. Sick and in prison, You visited. I was a stranger, You welcomed me. And all that happened because they knew the King. The King's love was resident in their life. And so, God's love for you motivates fantastic actions of compassion and mercy. And we thank God He gets that accomplished throughout the earth. We're slow sometimes with it. That's okay. You know, we'll learn. I'll just speak for myself. Learning to pass on the great love of God. And then, besides motivating to love and compassion, it surpasses faith, hope, and knowledge. By the two great commandments, love God, love people. There was an old catechism that says, without the love of God, my nature hates my neighbor and hates God. That's a Bible truth to know the danger of. You know, a truth that we need to say, yeah, that's true. Without the love of God, I hate my neighbor, I hate God. But when the love of God comes, oh, first time in my whole life I learned to love others. And then the last application, the great love of God compels us to be good news, living out the good news, compelled by Christ's compassion. This is a theme in 2 Corinthians 5, that we don't see people from a human point of view anymore, or even from ourselves. But we say, now we're ambassadors for Christ, and we make an appeal. You know, be reconciled to God. That's a good. We're all messengers about the great love of Christ, and the whole character of God, of course, holiness, wrath, love, and mercy. And remember, at this point in history, God did not send the flames of hell upon people. Okay, at least on the living. For the most part, He sent good news. Good news. And so it's the good news we pass on and the great love of God drawing people to Himself. And might, by the true miracle of God's Word and, you know, His Spirit, and just something He'll do for you today, a moment with God, you say, well, this is the most love I've ever felt. If you said that, You'd be saying something true from the Bible's point of view. And then you kind of pass that on one day at a time. And keep trusting when you don't, you know, when we forget, which we will. But let's pray together. Lord, thank you. You so loved each one of us here, the whole world, from here to China, from the 7 billion plus people, that you're on a mission to seek and save folks who were unloved and at least feeling that way and scrounging around like those secular singers for some crumb of bread that might represent love. But and then you come into history, you come into our lives. Bless each dear person here. And might we as your children, just out of brokenness, saying, well, it was the love of God that put me back together, that sent me on a mission, that enabled me to love somebody in a simple manner, whether it's a cup of cold water or going across the hallway to a fellow worker, or going to the end of the earth, that the love of God won't be stopped. So thank you, Jesus, for expressing that in your Bible and at Bethlehem Calvary and to today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.